just respond to all your consultants, make that phone call, just take action. It sounds small, but it just gets things moving.
Keeping focus and actually taking action were the first difficulties Koo faced heading into his property journey.
I would say maybe just the focus side of it. So we always had, like most people, an interest in investing, but in our early days, we probably actually never took the time to actually focus on it properly. Like we were interested in it, but it was more of a part-time interest as opposed to actually wanting to get our hands dirty and actually, you know, sit down, look for deals, crunch numbers. I think that's probably we're just probably a bit more immature. and not really ready for the actual trying to focus on a goal and getting it done.
When you first started, how old were you when you first started looking at the properties?
So probably mid-20s, I think, around there, yeah. But having a look back at it, I kind of wish I took it a bit more serious back then. It'll be a lot more easy now.
And as for the best advice he's ever received, Koo reckons what Troy taught him about doubling down and focusing has been really helpful.
The best piece of advice we got from Troy was the focus one, really just focus on the one thing we wanted to do and do that well. So when I look back and I think about, so I still keep in contact with Troy, but when I actually think about Troy himself and what he's taught us, that's the thing that stands out the most. I think with teachings and developing itself, I think it's the process itself is not difficult to understand. Obviously, the getting through the processes are a challenge. We counsel on that. So that education part of it, I think, you'll pick up, but the actual mindset, like you touched on, and the focusing is sort of what stands out when I think about Troy and his sort of teachings to us. And if I was to think about Dave, the thing that he always bangs on to us about is we can always go harder. So if we take a position on the market, we should take action on our position and just do as much as you can.
In terms of moving forward, Koo believes that it's always about doing the most you can.
So we approached Dave to mentor us because we wanted to grow our business and we wanted to, I mean, we knew how to develop. We'd done, you know, a few successful development deals, but we said what is the next steps? We don't know, like, you know, what do we need to do to become a proficient full-time investor over the next 20, 30 years. And he said, well, you know how you're doing 2 deals at the moment? You need to do 5. You need to look on how do you do 10 deals or 15 deals. You know, the numbers itself doesn't matter, but it's what you want to achieve in your goals. And if you want to make this a success, then you need to go hard and do as much as you can. So it's not so much the market itself, it's just sort of stretching yourselves and your capacity on what you can do in number of projects, size of projects.
On the business side of things, Koo was taught that the growth of his business really depended on his own actions.
So he was about more, like he said, the business mindset. So it's not so much go hard and go bankrupt. It was if you want to do double amount of projects, like you need to understand how do you do double amount of projects. Do you need joint venture partners? Do you need investors? Or, you know, you need to know how you get there. But whether you want to take that step, I mean, that's up to the individual. But if that's something you want to do, then you can, so if you need an investor and you want to do it, you go get an investor. So, yeah, so that's what he taught us from the business side of it.
Ku's career as a property developer found success when they started to work on his business as opposed to in the business.
Brother and myself sort of push each other. So we, I think you know when you go through tougher periods where you kind of just have that feeling that you're not doing enough, I think. So yeah, like, because I've got a business partner who's my brother, we sort of just keep ourselves accountable for our goals. And because we've sort of got things churning pretty well, even when we're not going hard enough per se, we've got stuff moving along that we can tick off each day just to keep the wheels in motion. And then when things sort of get a bit flat, sort of think, okay, what do we, you know, sit down and say, well, what do we do now? Do we, you know, do we look for another project? Do we get more funding? Yeah. Just, yeah, looking at sort of working on the business as opposed to in the business.
While Ku knows that most people would not be able to handle working two jobs at once, especially in the property industry, Ku makes it work by building on his networks and working relationships every year.
So I would say this is not the optimum because I do have friends who are full-time developers, and I could see that they could definitely get stuff done a lot more efficient than I can, obviously, because they've got more time. But so in terms of how we get it done, I think it's from the years of the relationship. So we've built up sort of 6-7 years of relationships with a few different builders, brokers, like drafties, engineers, where, to be honest, if I need to get a deal done, I'll just send them an email with the drawings or what I need done, and they sort of action it. It's for anyone thinking that it's easy to do, it would take you a bit of time to get those relationships. So if you think you can just work full-time and send an email out at lunch and expect an engineer to do your drawings or prioritize your drawings, that's probably not going to happen. It's just the years of the relationships we've built and the quantity of work we've given back to some of these guys or girls for them to get that sort of priority on their list.
Networking has always been a time-consuming challenge, and while his connections have rewarded Ku, they did not come without sacrifices.
So definitely is a challenge, or was a challenge in the earlier days. And to be honest, it still is a challenge in this market, and especially we're located in Melbourne, and the Melbourne market has been very hot until probably the last 6 months. So trying to get agents to respond and that sort of stuff was still challenging. And there was obviously a lot of agents that came into the market as well, so it made buying deals difficult. So we still have that challenge now. But in the earlier days, I should mention we did take a lot of time off to do it. So in terms of like leave and working from home days, I don't think people maybe not realize how big of a change it was for me to move 3 years as well to do this. So as I touched on before, the planning role I have now is extremely flexible, and that was one of the reasons why I could do it. But obviously I give up my accounting and finance career for that. So yeah, you just have to find ways to get it done. Like if we took leave days, I mean, I had to change sort of the profession I was in so I could do this.
Ku was able to secure his relationships with builders by being willing to pay them and give them jobs.
I know a lot of people have issues with trying to get builders. Like I know if you ask someone will say, oh, well, just grab a project and get a builder to quote it. And then when you grab a set of plans and get a builder to quote it, they sort of just think, you know, who are you? You're just another tire kicker wasting my time. So it's not as easy as some people say it is, but some of the consultants we did have to pay for their time. But yeah, we were quite open to the fact that if we had to pay a builder for his time, we would pay him. So we weren't too concerned with, because I know a lot of people, that might be a bit of an obstacle for some people trying to get feedback and actually paying someone for advice that maybe they're not going to use at the moment. But we're quite liberal in terms of doing that. And I can't remember any specifics, but I do recall if we had a job and we had a consultant we wanted to use, we would just give them the job without sort of, and I don't know if this is the best practice, without getting two or three quotes as they sort of tell you to do. And going back to that same person again, you know, to build that relationship.
Coming up after the break, we'll delve into Koo's property development strategy, where he shares the development process he always follows.
So our traditional process would be we would get the permits for the construction. Most of the time at the moment, we assess whether there's any value in selling with permits.
The good size of his pedantic habits.
So there's that saying, if you, you know, try to do something every day towards your goals, that's sort of what I base it on. So there's
his plans to go into property investment and development full time.
So this is actually quite an exciting period for us, actually, because we're sort of in that mist where we probably, we can go full time developing the next sort of 18 months.
And that's next. I'm Tyrone Shum, and you're listening to Property Investory. Hey, podcast listeners, are you interested in small investments with big profits? If the answer is yes, then register your interest at propertyinvestory.com. When you sign up, you'll receive deals at wholesale price, which I've negotiated with the vendor. These deals generate positive cash returns from day one, and I only send these out exclusively to my community. To find out more, visit propertyinvestory.com. Now back to the show. Continue on his development strategy, Koo has a high-level process he always commits to when developing a property.
Like most developers, we would find a site. We try to develop close to home. So I'm in the sort of Doncaster area at the moment of Melbourne, Box Hill sort of area. So we do deals from sort of Manningham Council down to sort of Maroondah, sort of Croydon, Ringwood, where it's a little bit cheaper than up sort of closer to the city. So we'll, like anyone else, we'll just network of agents. We would buy most of our stuff off market, I dare say. But it's just like the relationships with consultants. We have relationships with agents. They sort of bring us deals, some good, some bad. So our traditional process would be we would get the permits for the construction. Most of the time at the moment, we assess whether there's any value in selling with permits. And if not, then we'll engage an agent to start marketing the properties off the plan. And then obviously once we've got our permits through council and all the work and drawings, engineering, and get the building permit, we'll engage a build and start construction. That's sort of the high-level process. Yeah.
Koo is always assessing the risk before he makes any development or investment plans for a property.
In the last sort of, not so much in the market right now, because I know the market's sort of stagnated and sort of going sideways at the moment. When the Melbourne market was hot, probably before the last 6 months, sites with permits were selling quite high and people were paying exorbitant prices for the permit. So it was just a checkpoint where we would just assess it to say, well, if we built it, we'd obviously take finance risk, construction risk, you know, how much profit would you make versus how much would we make if we just sold with the permits at the moment, or even just selling with the land because the market moved so much during sort of the last 2 years. So yeah, just assessing the risk. Is it worth building for an extra bit of profit, or is it better just to sell and move on to the next project? And that's more just a risk mitigation thing for us. That plus most banks require pre-sales now anyway.
So how long do you wait between that process before you get people to actually buy the or purchase it before it actually gets built, or do you start the process of building?
Depending on the funding options with the projects we have currently, so if we're doing a three unit project, there is the ability to get funding, and this is just from our personal sort of financial circumstances. Other developers might have different ones. So for three units, we're able to get funding with no pre-sales. But anything above, we're required to get, depending on the fund, the 50% debt coverage or 100% debt coverage. So you would require pre-sale. So to be honest, a lot of it's just driven by the banks at the moment, or the financiers. Yeah. So they said, if you know you need to get pre-sales, the earlier you start, the better.
If Koo met himself 10 years ago, what would he say to him?
I would say to him, get focused a lot more quickly and get focused and sort out what you want to do and stop procrastinating. Because I'm by rights quite a lazy person.
I can relate. I end up procrastinating because it's too hard sometimes. And what are you most excited about in your property development journey over, say, the next 5 years?
So this is actually quite an exciting period for us, actually, because we're sort of in that mist where we probably... we can go full-time developing the next sort of 18 months if we choose to. And we've got sort of projects that will finish next year and probably a couple that will go in over the next 18 to 24 months. So, yeah, just growing the business is probably the most exciting part, and whether we take that step of, not being so conservative and actually relinquishing full-time employment and going as hard as we can in our business. So I would say we do this full-time with part-time hours. So we would do 3 to 4 projects. So for the last couple of years, we'll do 3 to 4 projects per annum, and that's constructing or selling with permits, or just making a deal of any sort of property kind. Although we're not doing full-time hours, we think we've got enough deals that would cover us for full-time employment. So, yeah, if that makes sense.
For Koo, there is no minimum when it comes to the profits he's looking to make. Merely, it's time variant.
So there's no minimum. So when we're assessing a deal, like when you just do sort of the raw numbers and you know they're just draft numbers, we like to have sort of a minimum 250 in a deal. But obviously things change in time and you might reassess as the project goes on. And that changes. So it could be, we've done a deal where we built 3 units in a suburb in Ringwood, and that only netted us $150,000. But we knew that going in because we bought the site with permits, but it only took us sort of 15 months from buying to completion. So short-term deal, lower profit. So yeah, it just depends on the deal.
Koo's personal habit, which he finds most contributing to his success, is his tenacity to be really pedantic about things.
I don't know if this is a good or bad one. So I'm quite pedantic in returning phone calls and answering all my emails, even if I have to stay up late at night. But that's probably... So there's that saying, if you try to do something every day towards your goals, that's sort of what I base it on. So there's something that needs to be done, especially if I'm holding up a process, I absolutely hate that. So yeah, just respond to all your consultants, make that phone call, just take action. It sounds small, but it just gets things moving. It can be it's a bit of a catch-22, because sometimes I get too into the detail of doing stuff that I forget I need to look at the bigger picture and see where the business is going. So that's a downside of having that sort of addiction to getting my property stuff done.
Books and other mentoring resources have been irreplaceable for Koo on his property journey as they propel Koo into property investment.
The reason we actually got into property, or one of the reasons why it sort of piqued our interest, was so for my birthday, my brother actually bought me the infamous 0 to 130 properties in 3.5 years that had Steve McKnight and Dave Bradley in it. So we always had an interest in business. But that book was probably the one that sort of thought, oh, well, this is quite interesting. The things that you can actually do with property as opposed to just buy and hold. So that was probably the first resource that we had that sort of got us into the property investing sort of area. I guess all the other books that most people have touched on, the Robert Kiyosaki books as well. And yeah, but we've been pretty lucky in terms of mentors. So we've had, I mean, as I mentioned, we were part of results, and that sort of gave us a good sort of foundation on goal setting and that. So we've had Troy Harris, that really, he's the one that taught us how to develop in terms of the process and the timing on really how to get the best and highest best use out of a site and maximize the financial gains from a project. So we've also been lucky enough to have Dave Bradley as our mentor. So he's not so much about developing itself. He was more around sort of their business mindset on how to grow the business. So we've been fairly lucky. It's come at an expense, but I think ourselves were quite.
And for those who are looking to learn more about Ku and his development business, he shares his contact details.
So I have a website, which is hwdhomes.com.au. So that's our development business. And if you want to contact me, so my email is sunhoc, so it's sunhoc@hwdhomes.com.au.
Thank you to Sunhoc Ku, our guest on this episode of Property Invest Story. If you want to hear more about his journey, then visit our website at propertyinvestory.com. Also, are you interested in small investments with big profits? If the answer is yes, simply text me your email address to 0499881040 to register your interest. When you sign up, you'll receive deals at wholesale price, which I've negotiated with the vendor. These deals generate positive cash returns from day one, and I only send these out exclusively to my community. To find out more, text me your email address on 0499881040. Thanks for listening.